Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to show number 8 on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And hopefully, if you're in the western third of the U.S., you're trying to find a way to stay cool.
Man, you know, Sean, it is amazing. Last week, we had the Tacoma Thunder reunion last week, and we had talked about Thunder being up in the state of Washington and down in California. What a difference a week makes, man. I mean, I know in your area, it's in the hundreds up in Washington State and definitely down here in Northern California. I believe we're at 109 as we speak, looking for shade.
Well, I know here in southeastern Washington and the Tri-Cities, we hit 109, 110, and we're looking for at least that tomorrow, if not a little hotter. It is tough out here trying to find some cool shade at that.
The dog days of summer are upon us.
And with that, the sports are definitely heating up out there everywhere you turn. The hockey championship last week, Monday, during our show, you've got the Phoenix Coyotes possibly moving, a big vote tomorrow in Phoenix regarding their team. You've got basketball free agency starting, the basketball draft happened, so much going on.
Yes, definitely. And of course, hats off to the Chicago Blackhawks for winning the NHL title and the Stanley Cup. And, man, I mean, you talk about something, you know, in an instant, the game changes. I believe Chicago was down 2-1, and they scored 2 goals in 38 seconds. And just amazing. And, again, hats off to both teams, the Boston Bruins and the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, you were talking about basketball. And, yes, free agency is upon us. And the number one talk is, of course, Dwight Howard taking on some of the limelight today, and of course we have you know, the big three, some of the big three in Boston now heading to Brooklyn. What do you think of that, Mr. Wally?
Goodness, they're not going far, but they are definitely changing those teams in a big way. Boston, the end of an era, the Brooklyn Nets starting a new one and going with a veteran presence.
Definitely, and so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Brooklyn Nets actually play next year. That, you know, if on paper it looks like they're going to be the team that challenges the Miami Heat, and you know, of course, you know, it is on paper, and we'll see what we'll see. But man, I mean, the off season has just started, and everything's heating up.
And then, of course, as you mentioned, the NBA free agency. We've got a report that Chris Paul is getting set to sign a reported $107 million contract to stay in L.A. with the Clippers.
Yeah, definitely. You know, of course, with the addition of Doc Rivers in the past week as the head coach, you knew that Chris Paul was definitely going to stand pat. You know, and I think he was going to stay regardless. But, yeah, $107 million definitely makes it a lot easier, and it solidifies the team, and it solidifies leadership in the L.A. Clippers organization.
You previously mentioned self-proclaimed Superman Dwight Howard. How about reports that he visited with the Houston Rockets today in L.A. with none other than James Harden in tow to try to woo him to Houston, and he had the gall to ask ownership if they could pony up and get a third superstar in there with a max contract.
Yeah, you know Dwight is, you know, I don't like talking, you know, bad about these athletes, but, you know, for one, Dwight Howard is definitely asking for it. I mean, you know, he's on a team in the L.A. Lakers. You know, all they need are a couple of pieces to get back to where they are, where they were. And, of course, you have Kobe Bryant. But, you know, here's Dwight going around in this circus, this carousel, visiting teams. I guess he's going to be down here in Oakland visiting Golden State here in the next couple of days. And, gosh, I hope he doesn't. You know, the Golden State Warriors don't get suckered into this whole deal. I mean, yeah, he's a great presence and, you know, would be an addition to their team, but at the same time, you don't want all that circus, and you have a pretty good chemistry if you're Mark Jackson and what you're doing in Golden State.
It's pretty interesting you mentioned the Warriors, because I heard a report last week that he had no interest in going there, but now I hear today that the Warriors are putting the full court press on to try to land Dwight Howard.
Yeah, you know, and it makes you wonder what Golden State has up their sleeve. Are they looking to do some trading to bring some more veteranism? You know, of course they do need a post presence. Of course they have Andrew Bogut that plays down in the block, and of course Biedrins. But you know, Dwight Howard would definitely make an impact with the Golden State Warriors. But everything that goes around it or goes with Dwight Howard's play, you have to put in question.
So much going on in the world of sports. We'll try to get to as much as we can. In the world of baseball in the Bay Area, you've got the A's still winning and trying to stay in the AL West race. And, of course, the San Francisco Giants treading water. But the NL West, not very tough so far this year. They are still in it.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head there, Sean, with the San Francisco Giants. They are very fortunate to be in a weak NL West as we speak. And so it won't take that much for the Giants to get back in it. All they have to do is, you know, is for Bruce Bochy is to gain some consistency. And, you know, once he can get these boys to realize that, you know, and of course they have a few injuries as well, but it won't take that much. The Oakland A's, on the other hand, are on fire and they're doing some great things. Huge question mark, though, when you talk about Bartolo Colon. Of course, last year he had the 50-game suspension with PEDs, and so he's starting out 9-2. Looks like he is definitely going to be, an all-star. But, you know, with Bud Selig looming around, and it sounds like Bartolo is one of the 18. You know, it could be trouble for him as the season goes on.
Talking about teams hot in baseball, we'd be remiss if we did not mention the red-hot Pittsburgh Pirates, and they're finally putting together a good season, and we'll see in the second half if they can withstand this great run they're on.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about baseball right now, Sean, and, you know, I've talked to you about this before. I don't really get too excited about baseball in the first half of the season, not until after the All-Star break or around the All-Star break, and shoot, probably not until September for that matter, but you know, it does make for exciting baseball. If the Pittsburgh Pirates are winning, kind of brings back that old nostalgia of the old Pirates teams. And it is. It's good for Major League.
And, you know, here we are, July 1, and the Seattle Mariners are about 12 games under 500. At least they made it till July 1 until we're talking about what players to trade off and send out of town.
Yeah, you know, talking with Tim Lewis a few weeks ago, and he had mentioned, man, that this is not going to be a good year for the Seattle Mariners. And they show signs of greatness. They show ups. They show, and of course, they show their downs. And, you know, hopefully they can have more ups than downs. But right now, it is not looking good for Seattle.
One of the few bright spots is 41-year-old Raul Ibanez in the outfield has 18 home runs right now, ninth in the major leagues. He had 19 all of last year with the Yankees.
Yeah, you mentioned the fountain of youth, Ponce de Leon himself, Raul Ibanez. All he has to do is actually play the Oakland A's, and he would definitely be on the All-Star roster. When he plays Oakland, he tears it up, knocking the ball out of the park. The last series, I believe Raul had 3 home runs. Am I correct, Sean? In the last series, Oakland and Seattle?
Absolutely, and he had one over the weekend against the Cubs, and he's just finding a way to send that ball out of the park, and he's trying to carry the team, and not very many guys are helping him out on the offensive side.
Yeah, you're right. It's just unfortunate that there isn't enough help. A very young team, so a strong youth movement by the Seattle Mariners. What they would have to do is definitely get some veterans in there and put some pieces into place if they wanted to stay relevant in the AL West.
The dog days of summer, as they say, for the 162-game Major League Baseball season.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, you have to wonder in the next month or two which teams are actually going to make a move, which teams are actually real, and which teams are you know, just, you know, are fake. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
Major League Baseball trading deadline coming the end of the month, and we will definitely hear speculation in the next 30 days. Who's going to be traded? Who's going where? Who's going to sell? Who's going to buy? And that's what happens in the month of July in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, again, I'd mentioned injuries before. And, you know, you have to wonder, you know, how some of these guys will come out of spring training. And, you know, if they're actually, you know, set and ready to play a full 162-game season. And, of course, you know, we mentioned San Francisco. And, you know, wow, I'm just taking a glance at the score right now, and it's not something that you'd like to see if you're a Bay Area or a San Francisco Giants fan, down 8-1 to Cincinnati in a rain-delayed game.
Yeah, and that's definitely one thing you can never account for is Mother Nature, and that's one good reason to have the retractable roof in Seattle. You never have to deal with that.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing up in the Pacific Northwest. There are definitely beautiful facilities, you know, for football and baseball. And who knows, in the next year or so, we might find out some either hockey news or NBA news for Seattle.
Absolutely. Hopefully some good news to come as another team may join the major league ranks in the Pacific Northwest. And you mentioned football. Let's go out now to the phone lines to big time guest number one as we reach out to Vic Tafer, the sports writer at SFGate.com for the Oakland Raiders. Vic, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us, Vic. Man, this is an exciting time for me, of course, being down here in your neck of the woods in Sacramento, California. Man, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Oakland. You talk about some things that have been happening in the off season. Not too big of moves, in contrast to the big marquee names, but Reggie McKenzie has definitely has his fingerprint on what's going on in Oakland. Tell us what's been going on in the OTAs.
Well, yeah, kind of definitely in rebuilding mode. They kind of tore down last year's roster, and they got rid of Carson Palmer, and they brought in Matt Flynn. He's your new quarterback. Change the offense around. They're going to go back to the power running scheme, which probably benefits Darren McFadden. He had an off year last year, and now he's saying he's fully healthy and ready to go. So I think a lot of their hopes ride on Darren's shoulders.
Yeah, so you mentioned the Oakland Raiders moving to the power running scheme. Of course, the head coach Dennis Allen in his second year. There have been some changes. Of course, Greg Olsen, the new offensive coordinator. You hear a lot about those two in the off season, but not too much about some of the things that Al Saunders might still be implementing into the offense. But more importantly, Tony Sparano. So what is his impact as the assistant head coach and the offensive line coach?
Well, he's a big-time power running guy, so I think the offensive line kind of had an off year last year. They didn't adjust too well to the zone blocking scheme. Tony's a power guy, and he likes what he has in this line. I think they can go back to where a couple of years ago they actually did pretty well. So I think they have most of the guys back this year. There's one opening at left guard, but otherwise they got 4 to 5 guys back, and he thinks they can definitely bounce back and kind of be a centerpiece, the O-line and Darren McFadden as far as getting the thing turned around.
And you've been great that you mentioned Darren McFadden. Of course, he is looking to have a great season after coming off a dismal season last year in the zone blocking scheme. Tell us a little bit about the help that he's receiving in new rookie Latavius Murray.
They got Murray. They like him. He kind of runs a similar style to McFadden, kind of upright style. He has a big stiff arm. They also brought in the veteran guy who's really the backup as of right now. That's Rashad Jennings, former Jacksonville running back. So, you know, they think obviously Darren's going to be their guy, but they'd like to not kill him and not to use him too many times. Hopefully Jennings and Murray can get enough touches to keep McFadden fresh throughout the season.
Hey, Vic, talking about... Sorry, talking about McFadden, the key to him, and I guess any NFL team, is staying healthy. So if he can do that, he can have a great season, phenomenal numbers, and be that impact running back that the Raiders need.
Yeah, Darren's never played a full season, and a lot of people have him tagged as an injury-prone guy. He's always said there's only been flukish injuries, and Reggie McKenzie agrees with him. If you look at Darren's history, he's always come in out of camp in top shape. He's an extremely hard worker. so you can't really fault him as far as that for why he gets hurt all the time. So, you know, this year he has a lot to play for. Obviously, they've gone back to a scheme he's more comfortable in, and he's also a contract year, so he has to do well to get the, you know, the big money deal he may want for next year.
About 3 weeks ago at Raiders headquarters in Alameda, they had a football camp for about 300 kids with Matt Flynn, Rod Streeter, and many other Raiders in attendance, teaching the kids about football and about staying active. How do you think that went over with the community? And sounds like a great thing to be giving back to the kids.
Yeah, the kids loved it. I think obviously you want to teach the kids the right way to do things as far as, you know, the fundamentals of football and also having the right attitude. And those guys are all good guys. I think definitely they relished the chance to go out there and reach out to kids and show them, you know, this is how you do things and work hard and have a nice future. So I think it was a nice event, and I know the Raider players all enjoyed doing it.
For those of you just tuning in, we have Vic Tafur here with the San Francisco Gate Chronicle and also Raiders beat reporter. Hey, Vic, tell us a little bit about, you know, the quarterback situation. We're hearing a lot of things. You know, of course, Matt Flynn being acquired in the offseason, coming over from the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, there's a quarterback sensation by the name of Tyler Wilson. And, you know, now, is he as good as advertised, or is this just something that will be a work in progress, or is Matt Flynn's job safe?
Well, you know, Tyler's a fourth-round pick, so I think he's a guy you look at grooming and kind of developing. I'm not sure you look at him as a guy they want to play this year. He may be a guy they look at for next year, and just even becoming a valuable or dependable backup is be a good thing for a fourth-round pick. So I don't think Tyler's in the mix. As far as this year goes, I think it's all Matt Flynn. I think even if Matt had a rough preseason, I think he'd still be the starter. So I think Terrell Pryor and Tyler Wilson are both in the developmental stage. Sorry.
So, of course, the Oakland Raiders have been in a downward spiral. It seems like just when things start to get on the right track, they had a couple of 8-8 seasons. One with Hugh Jackson, of course, and then one with Coach Cable the year prior. The Raiders take a step back. What is the morale that you feel with Coach Allen and the coaching staff? Is it a different feel? Do you think that things are going to change or are on the upward swing?
Yeah, it's definitely a different feel because they got rid of all the veteran guys. All the guys have been around for a while. So it's totally, like on defense, they probably have nine new starters on defense. I just think it's a lot of players are younger now. A lot of the guys who've been around for a while are gone. So, Dennis has a young staff. He's young himself. He wants to try and get his way going. He last year kind of struggled getting his message across to a lot of the players. So, this is kind of a brand new start for him this year, and hopefully he turns things around.
So, do you see in your mind, and what you see, who is one of the bright rookie spots in the camps thus far, or in the OTAs?
Well, it's early yet. In the first-round pick, DJ Hayden missed the OTAs. He had some follow-up surgery on his abdomen. So I guess the bright spot so far might be CeeDee Moore, third-round pick. He's a linebacker. They hope to give him some pass rush. They don't have much of a pass rush right now. They got rid of all the guys last year who got any sacks. They got Andre Carter back. And pretty much Carter and CeeDee Moore, they're looking to for getting some sacks. So I think CeeDee's done a good job so far. It's hard to tell because no one's wearing pads yet, but I think he's probably their biggest hope right now for an instant rookie contribution.
Vic Tafur joining us here on The Double with the Double S Express, Oakland Raiders writer for SFGate.com. Vic, what did you think overall how the Raiders did in the draft? You take DJ Hayden in the first round, a good cornerback, but crazy health issues with that guy. And what do you think about their draft overall?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's a big question mark. I think Reggie's gotten a lot of benefit of the doubt from a lot of media and a lot of the critics. I think if Al Davis had picked DJ Hayden that high, I think he would have gotten ripped for it. So obviously they think Hayden's a top-notch, you know, cover cornerback, and if he is, then it was a great pick. If he's not, I think it was a bad pick, his health issues aside. So they think he's ready to come back in training camp, and they need him to play. They need him to be an instant contributor, because that's what you are when you're picked, you know, that high in the draft. So I think a lot of pressure on DJ.
Punter Chris Cluey seems to be quite the free spirit. He was on Conan O'Brien last Thursday and talked about how about his outspokenness, and Conan asked him about what the NFL thinks, and he says they, quote, they left me alone as long as you're not out shooting people, which was taking a shot at the Aaron Hernandez situation. Is he pretty much a free spirit, and that's the way Cluey is, and the team's okay with that, or do you think they'll kind of frown upon that?
That's a great question. I think Cluey definitely is a free spirit. He's very socially active and politically active. He's on Twitter all the time. Has no problems telling his opinions on things, and he's written a book. Yeah, I think the kind of war stand in Minnesota, I think that's one of the reasons he was cut. The Raiders say it won't be an issue, but at the same time, I wonder. McKenzie's a very conservative person. I'm not sure he likes that joke in Conan O'Brien. I can't believe he likes when Cluey goes off on Twitter sometimes with the language. So that would be an interesting thing to follow. I think I'm curious to see how far Chris can go before the Raiders tell him to maybe tone it down a notch.
Yeah, so what an interesting crew of punters and kickers the Raiders have. Of course, you have Chris Cluey, the free spirit, and then you have Janikowski, which, you know, whichever way the wind blows, I mean, you know, is his attitude, you know, definitely one of the more eccentric kicking units in the NFL.
Yeah, Janikowski used to be a wild man, and I think he's definitely he got married, he got some kids, he definitely calmed down a little bit, and just had a great run these last few years, and I think on the pace he's on, he'll definitely go down as probably, you know, the top three kicker of all time. I think he might be close to some of the records when he's done. I just think as far as distance and accuracy, he's pretty much as good as it gets right now.
Yeah, you know, you have to like the idea that Jano thinks that he can play, and I believe that he can play another 7 to 8 years. I mean, he has an excellent foot.
Yeah, he's taking care of himself. I think when he was younger, he probably went out drinking a little too much, and I think the off season wasn't really a time for him to get in shape. He kind of, but now he's totally different. Now he's at the OTAs. You think he lost about probably 10, 15 pounds and looked in great shape. I think he wants to, like you said, go for a while. I think he wants to make sure his body doesn't fail him in that effort. So I think, you know, I think he'll have a great year. And the big question mark with him is, again, if the Raiders re-sign him, this is his last year. And he made a lot of money thanks to Al Davis. So while the new regime may love him, I'm not sure they love him as far as that much, as far as the big money goes. We'll have to wait and see.
For those of you just turning in, Vic Tafer, the San Francisco Gate Chronicle, with us, Raiders beat writer. Hey, Vic, knowing Al Davis and now his son taking over in Mark Davis, give the listeners a little bit of a vibe as far as, you know, how Mark runs the team. Do you feel like there's more stability involved with Mark or in contrast to Al?
Yeah, I think Mark's definitely trying. I think Mark, the greatest thing about Mark is he came out and said, look, you know, I'm not my dad. I don't know football like he did. I'll have to hire someone who does and know football really well and make all those tough decisions. That's why I brought in Reggie McKenzie as his guy. He's trying to not get too involved. I think he obviously cares a great deal. He's been a fan for, you know, for 30, 40 years. He's always been close to the team and lives and dies with the wins and losses. So last year was hard for him. So I think on the one hand, he wants to have patience. He wants to build it the right way, you know. But at the same time, I'm not sure he's going to respond too well to another 4-12 season. So I think it's another fascinating thing to watch as far as the Raiders go.
Now, the love-hate relationship with the city of Oakland. Of course, the Raiders have been trying to get a stadium for quite some time. This dates back into the 80s where Al Davis moved the team down to Los Angeles. Are there any signs that, you know, Oakland will get something done, the city of Oakland and the Oakland Raiders will get something done as far as a venue is concerned?
They're trying. I mean, they're still meeting. I think talks have gone better this year than they were last year. I think one of the major, you know, stumbling blocks is that the A's future is in such doubt. They want to move to San Jose. That kind of avenue is closed right now. So ideally, the city of Oakland wants to build a new stadium for both teams, you know, but until you know what the A's are doing and what they can do and what they will do, it's kind of hard to make plans for the Raiders. So, you know, at some point, that will break. Something will happen, and the Raiders will be forced to do something as far as decide where they want to go. But right now, they're still meeting with the city of Oakland. They're still trying to make progress and lock something down for the future.
Vic Tafer, kind enough to join us here tonight. Oakland, writer for SFGate.com, San Francisco Chronicle. And Vic, I got to know, were you the winning bidder on Kenny King's Super Bowl 18 ring that sold at auction for $30,579?
No, that was a little too much for my blood, but I'm glad he like he sold it. He needed some money. I think the owner had it refurbished, so you know, all the best to Kenny, and obviously to the guy who bid that much money for that ring. Obviously, it meant a lot to the buyer for that much money.
Vic, I know it's very, very early, and we aren't even to training camp yet, but if you had to guess at where you think the Raiders will fall in the AFC West, where do you think that will be?
Not very high. I mean, obviously, I haven't seen anyone in pads yet, so I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but it's hard when you have a brand-new defense and guys who haven't played together. It's hard to really think they can gel that quickly, and again, I mentioned earlier, there's no real pass rush at this point, even though the secondary is improved. And so, you know, I think 4-12 is probably a realistic goal at this point. I'm not sure they have a talent right now that said they can do a lot better. Obviously, they're hoping they'll gel, and sometimes teams click, and you know, things end up where teams win more games than their talent indicates. But right now, I can't guess that's going to happen.
I like the prediction, Vic. I think the same thing. Knowing that you're a Raider fan, and of course myself being an Oakland Raider fan, you know, you'd like for a little bit of optimism, but I'm more in the show me first, and then we'll go from there. I think if the Raiders can do that in the beginning of the season or show some signs or some glimmers of improvement, then the Raider Nation would definitely be excited. But yeah, I'm right along the lines of 5-11, 4-12 as well.
Yeah, tough schedule. So, yeah, it all depends on training camp, how things come together, how quickly guys learn to play together, and the offense has obviously be better than it was last year with McFadden and Flynn, so we'll see.
Vic Tafer, sports writer, sfgate.com. Follow him on Twitter at Vic Tafer, V-I-C-T-A-F-U-R. Thanks so much for joining us on The Double with the Double S Express tonight. We hope to talk to you in the future.
All right, boys. Take care.
All right, thanks a lot, Vic.
There goes Raider beat writer Vic Tafer from sfgate.com. Read his stuff online in the San Francisco Chronicle.
Man, that was great having Vic on. Of course, it's always good to talk Raiders, Mr. Wally. But, yeah, like I was mentioning before, it's going to be a tough season, for them, I believe. And if it is a good one, I mean, hey, that's just added. But, you know, they got a lot of improvements to do. But yeah, so we've had a great first half with Vic Tafer on, beat writer for the Oakland Raiders. When we come back, we'll have guest number two, so keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on The Double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Just a quick water cooler break for you here on the Double with the Double S Express. As we welcome in across the bay now, we go to San Francisco, sports writer for the San Francisco Examiner. We welcome in Paul Gackle to the show. Paul, thanks for joining us tonight as we talk 49er football.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sean. How's it going?
Good, good. Hey, welcome to the show, Paul. Hey, man, I'm telling you, what an off season the 49ers have had. with the addition of Aquan Bolden and Nnamdi Asomugha, of course, two veterans that can definitely help the 49ers get back to the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, it's been an interesting offseason for sure. There's never a dull moment around here. And, yeah, they, you know, bringing in Anquan Boldin was a really nice move to bolster the receiving core, and obviously they need it now. Now that Michael Crabtree is going to be out with his Achilles problem. So that ended up being quite fortunate for them. Obviously, they had a really good draft, too, with so many picks.
And so you mentioning Michael Crabtree being out with the injury, which leaves Coach Harbaugh with a little bit of tinkering, it sounds like, in the past week or so. Murmurs of tight end Vernon Davis going to receiver.
Well, we'll have to always wait and see. You never really know with the Harbaugh crew because, you know, secrecy is the name of their game. So you never really know what they're going to pull out and unveil. Certainly at this point last year, nobody saw them running a spread offense with Colin Kaepernick, you know, late in the year. Nobody would have predicted that. So you'll never know what the way the 49ers are going to do things. But, you know, a lot has been made over Crabtree's injury. I don't really know what to make of it. I guess we won't really know what to make of it until they step on the field. But you have to remember also at this time last year, Michael Crabtree was still considered, you know, a bust. A guy with a lot of talent coming out of college, a lot of high hopes for him, and at this point he was considered a bust. And you know what? He ended up clicking with Kaepernick. He did pretty well with Alex Smith before Kaepernick came in, and he ended up having, you know, a really breakout season. The 49ers have, you know, more young guys on their roster. They have A.J. Jenkins, who was their first-round pick last year, and everybody's, you know, already writing him off as a bust, but why can't he make that step up? So you never know, but you just got to think that the way this offense has run under Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman, that they'll figure things out.
Most definitely. And so, of course, you have veteran running back Frank Gore having sensational season after season. Of course, his body has to be wearing thin a little bit as far as toting the rock as he has. Tell us a little bit about LaMichael James and his role, or how you see his role going forward in the next year.
I'd imagine that his role would expand, would continue to expand. They were very slow at easing him into the mix. But, you know, towards the end of the season and into the playoffs, he was starting to get some touches. He's a small guy, but he has a lot of speed. And if they're running that spread offense with, you know, Kaepernick, it can really create a lot of problems for defenses because if he gets the ball, he can just fly. And, yeah, you mentioned Gore's, you know, he's taken a pounding over the years, and obviously he has a lot of miles on him. But I thought it was interesting that they were able to snag Lattimore in the draft, which we don't know when he'll be ready to go. He's obviously coming off those the surgery on the ACL. But that's a guy that you got to really like in the long term, especially the way ACL surgeries are going these days.
Paul Gackel joining us, sports writer for the San Francisco Examiner. Follow him on Twitter at Gackel Reports. And Paul, the Crabtree injury, who steps up and tries to help Anquan Boldin and Vernon Davis in that offense at the receiver position? You've got a few young receivers like Ricardo Lockett, who spent some time in Atlanta with Kaepernick in the offseason trying to learn the playbook and work on his routes. Is it somebody like that, or do you think somebody else might be able to help out?
Well, it could be, yeah, you just don't know. It could be Lockett, you know, it could be, like I said, A.J. Jenkins is a guy that they drafted with a first-round pick last year and had high hopes for. And, you know, maybe after not really having, you know, even catching the ball last year, he's a guy that's maybe spent a little bit of time in the offseason ramping up, and maybe he'll come in motivated and ready to go. And you just wonder if it's the type of offense where if you put somebody in there, they have a good chance of success. And don't forget that at some point, Mario Manningham's going to be coming back from his injury as well. And Manningham's a guy, remember the catch he had in the Super Bowl? He's a guy who can get it done. So they have a lot of options out there. And like I said, you know, last year, you know, we didn't think much of Crabtree. And all of a sudden, you know, the 49ers lose him. And there's panic out there in Niners Nation over that. But it seems like Jim Harbaugh, whether he's been at Stanford, whether he's been in San Francisco, he always seems like the system of that offense that they run always seems to work. So I feel like somebody's going to step up and catch the ball one way or another. They'll figure out how to get it done.
the 49ers might have an ace in the hole as they have hired former Jet and Brown coach Eric Mangini as a new offensive consultant, which is interesting because he's a defensive-minded coach.
It is interesting to bring in the Mangini, and I think that that says a lot about Jim Harbaugh because, you know, Harbaugh's a guy who has a reputation for just being, you know, an absolute egomaniac that a lot of egomaniacs aren't willing to bring in other egomaniacs to take pointers from. And I think that that's one thing about Harbaugh that he showed is that he's willing. He works with his staff. You know, he's a team player. Actually, they really do work as a team. He's had, you know, those guys Fangio and Greg Roman dating back to Stanford, and they show that they really can work well together. And he wants to win the Super Bowl. And what did he do? He just brought in another mind that can come in and work with them and maybe help them. You know, bringing in a defensive guru can help them figure out how to pick apart some of these defenses they face. So I think that really says a lot about Jim Harbaugh's character and just, you know, that he really does put his team first and winning first over his own ego.
For those of you just tuning in to On the Double with the Double Express, we have Paul Gackle, San Francisco Examiner beat writer for the San Francisco 49ers. Paul, you'd mentioned egomaniacs. Let's talk about within the division. You have egomaniac Jim Harbaugh, and you have egomaniac Pete Carroll in Seattle. Both teams have been talking back and forth as far as, you know, posturing themselves for this upcoming season. A couple of years ago, we were looking at a division that was a little beleaguered, but now with both teams strengthening themselves, of course, Golden Tate coming out and having a war of words, if you will. What's the talk in 49er camp as far as, you know, this being an actual rival?
Well, I mean, Vernon Davis said just recently that he thinks that Seattle is building a dynasty up there and that they do need to take him seriously. So I think Niners Nation really is taking the Seahawks seriously. And I got to say, as, you know, a columnist, as a writer, I just love it. I mean, this is what we live for, these kind of war of words that we got going on between Harbaugh and Carroll. And, of course, from our perspective here in the Bay, this dates back to Stanford and USC when they had the infamous, you know, what's your deal, man, bowl, where Harbaugh, you know, went down to USC and beat the Trojans and kind of ran up the score on them a little bit there. And they met, on the field after the game, and the cameras caught Jim Carroll saying to Harbaugh, what's your deal, man? And so these guys go way back, and it's pretty fun that it's now carried over into the NFL, and they've had this great sort of arms race in the off season, and I just think it's great for football and great for these two teams because we haven't really had a great rivalry here in the NFC West for quite some time. When you think about football, you think about rivalries. You think, you know, Vikings, Packers, Bears, Cowboys, Redskins, you know, all that fun. And this division, since they went to the eight division format, really hasn't had that kind of a thing. I mean, I think when you think of who the 49ers rivals are, you probably think, you know, back to the Packers and obviously Dallas during the dynasty years. But the 49ers haven't really had a real rival in division since, you know, Jim Everett and the Los Angeles Rams way back in the 80s. So I think it's really fun to see these guys going at it. And I love that, you know, Harbaugh wasn't afraid to, you know, throw that little PED comment out there. You know, so often coaches are doing whatever they can to avoid the quote. And, you know, he just kind of threw it out there and was willing to rib them a little bit. So I think it's going to be a really fun season.
Yeah, you know, the great thing about the Seattle-San Francisco rival, and I look forward to this season and how these both teams are actually going to compete against each other. One of the things about Coach Harbaugh, the more things change, the more things stay the same. You were talking about how Coach Harbaugh down at Stanford beat USC. You know, one of the things was when he beat USC the first time, that was under the quarterback Tavita Pritchard, who actually beat USC. And then, you know, when you think that things are going to be status quo, what does Coach Harbaugh do? He comes out there and he throws in Andrew Luck. So the more things change, the more things stay the same. Going into San Francisco, you think that Alex Smith, with the consistency that he had going forward during the season, and here comes Colin Kaepernick, you know, fitting the mold on what he wants. And so tell us a little bit about Coach Harbaugh. He's not too predictable, is he?
No, I mean, he keeps everything under wraps. He's kind of, you know, tough to deal with the local media from a local media perspective sometimes because he really doesn't like to say much of anything, and he really does, you know, keeps things behind the curtain. Yeah, it seemed like Alex Smith couldn't have played any better under Jim Harbaugh. He didn't make a mistake, and with that great defense, they were really able to move the ball, control the clock, really limit the mistakes, and, you know, win a lot of football games. So it looked like it, you know, was Alex Smith's job was pretty safe. But if you know Jim Harbaugh, that's not really the type of game plan he likes to run. You know, Harbaugh's one of the very early pioneers of the double tight end set down at Stanford, sometimes running triple tight end sets. And what he likes to do is just build up, stack up that big, huge line, and pound, pound, pound the ball. And then you can pop those athletic tight ends out and send them downfield and really stretch the field when the defense starts to creep up to stop the run. And Alex Smith just wasn't a guy who was going to make that throw downfield that Harbaugh really relies upon for his system to work properly. Alex Smith was a check down passer, and he didn't make a lot of mistakes, and that worked for them. But in the long run, that just wasn't going to work for Harbaugh, and Colin Kaepernick's shown that he has the arm to stretch the field, and now you add in sort of the spread element that they're bringing to that, too. It's a really dynamic offense all of a sudden.
Paul Gackel joining us, sports writer for the San Francisco Examiner. We're talking 49er football here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. And Paul, you talk the rivalry that's brewing between the Seahawks and the 49ers for supremacy in the NFC West. Right out of the gate, week two in Seattle, late summer showdown on Sunday Night Football. And then you turn around late in the season, week 14, early December down in San Francisco. Just a great way to get the season rolling and a great way to get towards the back end of the schedule for supremacy of the division.
Yeah, I mean, it should be really exciting. And the 49ers actually get the Packers right out of the gates in week one, which will be fun. That's a rematch of that great playoff game that was played down here at Candlestick. And then, you got that big rivalry game, and we've all been frothing at the mouth and drooling over that all offseason, so that should be really fun. I also wanted to point out that I just think the NFC West as a division is getting a lot better, too. The Rams, you know, really had a nice draft. They brought in Tavon Austin, you know, they brought in Ogletree, and Jeff Fisher was able to get Harbaugh once last year and tie him another time, so he kind of has his number. And the Cardinals aren't looking too bad. They've got a really great defensive secondary. Patterson now throwing the honey badger in there, that should be really interesting. So I think the whole division is going to be really fun this year. There used to be a time where, you know, it was like six guaranteed wins, but definitely not this year.
Definitely. That's Paul Gackel with the San Francisco Examiner, beat writer for the San Francisco 49ers. Hey, Paul, look forward to definitely meeting up with you when the Seattle Seahawks come down and play against the San Francisco 49ers at Candlestick for the last time. And tell us a little bit about the new stadium and the new feel. Have you had a chance to go down to Santa Clara and peep it out?
Well, I've just seen it from the outside at their practice facilities, but sure, man, boy, it's sure going up fast, and I guess it's just going to be a completely, absolutely state-of-the-art facility, and it's going to be kind of nice because I can't lie, Candlestick's kind of a dump, and it's a really bad traffic situation, so I'm kind of looking forward to getting down there, and of course, it's bringing the Super Bowl to town, so you can't ask for too much more.
No, Super Bowl 50, you're right, at Levi Stadium. That is definitely going to be a treat for everybody. You know, the lights will definitely be, or the spotlight will definitely be on San Francisco, and I'm sure the city is ready to accommodate.
Yeah, let's just hope it doesn't rain that week.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, something tells me it'll be a nice, you know, a nice evening in the winter, you know, and hopefully the San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders can play in that one. How about that?
Well, that would be great. And I'll tell you, if the weather agrees, I mean, I actually don't even care if it rains for the football game, but I just want it to be a nice week so everybody can have a nice party up and down Market Street all week.
Yes, yes.
And along the waterfront there. I mean, what a great place to host a party. And, you know, San Francisco, New Orleans, I guess, is just, you know, a great place to host the Super Bowl, but I believe San Francisco can rival it if the weather agrees with us.
San Francisco will be balmy compared to New York, New Jersey, at the end of this year, the start of 2014, where the Super Bowl will be.
That's true.
So, Paul.
Paul Gackel, thank you so much for joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express.
Hey,
sports writer
quick,
for the San Francisco Examiner. Go ahead, Sean Boyd.
Hey, real quick, Paul, I just want a prediction here on the NFC West. You had mentioned how tough it is this year. Who do you predict going out in the NFC West?
Geez, I don't know. I mean, that's a real tough one. I mean, I think you can flip up a coin and sort of determine – I mean, a coin flip would have just as good a chance of predicting this one. But maybe I'll take the Seahawks. I mean, I think that it's going to be interesting. I have some questions about Kaepernick, actually. I just want to – we've only seen him for 10 games, and there was such an element of surprise of him coming in last year. Teams didn't really know how to adjust with him, and there's just been so much hype over the offseason. And, you know, this league can be very humbling. We've seen guys, you know, like when Michael Vick came out of jail and rejoined the league, he just dominated for a good stretch there and then came back down to earth. So I want to see if he can sustain that kind of success over the course of a full season. And I just really like the way that the Seattle Seahawks defense is built. And I think they're looking pretty good with Russell Wilson there and Marshawn Lynch. It should be pretty interesting.
You know, a lot's been said about how Kaepernick has such great velocity on his throws. And I can say firsthand, I worked the December 23rd Sunday night game in Seattle where the 49ers were taken care of. And Kaepernick, he threw a skip pass that did a one hop right into my leg as I was on the sideline for NBC Sports. And I got to say, it definitely was zipped in there. And, you know, I think Seattle figured something out that night. It'll just be wait and see as if the rest of the league can figure him out as well.
Yeah, it's just going to be really interesting to see what this guy has over the long haul. I mean, it's such a small sample still at this point in time. But, yeah, he definitely has some heat on that ball. He threw out the first pitch at the Giants game the other day, and I guess he hit like 87 on the gun. I was kind of felt bad for Sergio Romo that they didn't give him some catcher's gear back there to catch that thing. But, yeah, he's got an arm. It'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, I got a chance to see that pitch, and it had a lot of heat on it. And Russell Wilson also, he had the chance to throw out the pitch at the Mariners game. And, you know, these quarterbacks, man, they really take it to heart no matter what ball they have in their hand. They're really trying to zip it in there.
How much mustard did Wilson put on that? I didn't get to see that pitch.
I believe 75 was the actual number. They floated up there some crazy 98, which wasn't the case, but it was still a fast pitch. And he was a two-sport athlete, played minor league baseball actually here not far from me in Pasco, Washington with the Tri-City Dust Devils. So he's a great athlete all around.
Well, that was a big reason why NC State let him go for his senior year, isn't it? Because he went to play baseball?
Exactly, drafted by the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, I guess they both got some mustard on that. They can both throw the ball around. Should be fun. Can't wait for that game in week two.
It'll be a great time for sure. Paul Gackel, thank you for your time tonight. Follow him at Gackel Report on Twitter and at the San Francisco Examiner online. Sports writer for the San Francisco Examiner, Paul Gackel, thank you for your time tonight.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a good one.
All right, you too, Paul.
There goes Paul Gackel as we talk San Francisco 49ers and NFC West football. It's been a great show, and Sean Boyd, take us to one more break before we wrap it up.
Man, you know, yeah, it has. It's been great talking Bay Area football. Of course, we talked about the Oakland Raiders in the beginning and now the San Francisco 49ers. If you guys want to call into the show, here's your chance, 888-429-5471. Again, that number is 888-429-5471. So we will take a quick break, a breather, if you will, in this hot heat going up and down the Western Seaboard. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio.
What's my name?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140.
For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, the Double S Express on the double, wrapping up show number 8 tonight. And this hour has, man, just light speed ahead.
Man, I got to thank our technician, Don Newsom, definitely playing the right music. Man, I had my head bobbing coming back from the commercial. Man, I love it. But yeah, a great show today. Of course, we have Paul Gackle, the sports beat writer for the 49ers. And then we had Vic Tafer for the Oakland Raiders with the San Francisco Chronicle. And so it was a great show if you love Bay Area sports. And, man, I got to give it to you, Mr. Wally. You hung in there, you know, with all the Pacific Northwest ties and Seattle blue running through your veins. You made it through, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. It took a little bit, but, you know, if we're going to do the show that's worldwide on the web, you know, we have to touch every base. And the Bay Area is one, and we've got a lot of followers in Raider Nation and the Bay Area with the 49ers and the Golden State Warriors, the Oakland A's. So bring it on. Let's talk sports.
Man, I think I would have been pushing it, and I thought I asked you earlier to, you know, it would have been nice to hear the autumn wind, but I think I would have been putting it a little over the edge.
You know, I tried to download it, but didn't have enough time pre-show. So maybe next time, Mr. Boyd.
Definitely. Hey, I also wanted to send a shout-out to Harrison Wood, who's done some great things for us and helping us out on the show. Hey, Harrison, you listening? Hey, thanks, you know, for everything that you do, brother.
Harrison Wood, the voice of our great, open, longtime Seattle DJ at Cube 93. Now he is a part-time DJ in Las Vegas and also in Wenatchee at KW3.
Man, you know, the people that have stepped up to do some things to help out our show, you know, it is so much appreciative. And again, if you wanted to call in, and I know that there are some times that, you know, we have great sports talk and we don't get a chance to have callers call in. Again, here's your chance. If you'd like to call in and ask a couple of questions, please feel free to do so. That is 888-429-5471. Again, that number is 888-429-5471. We just have a few minutes left. And again, Sean, it has been a great show. One of the things that we would be remiss to not talk about, if we didn't talk about, would be Wimbledon that's been going on. What's been happening there?
You know, I think you and I should have entered because we might have had a shot this year because all the big names are falling by the wayside over in England. And you had Serena Williams falling last night. And, you know, all the top seeds are out of the tournament. So somebody's going to win that, you know, may have been an unknown. And here they are with a chance to take home the Wimbledon title. As this is show number 8 of On the Double with the Double S Express, a great show we have had here today for you, talking Bay Area NFL football. As we had Vic Tafer from SFGate.com, sports writer for the Oakland Raiders, and our second big-time guest of the evening was Paul Gackle, San Francisco SFExaminer.com. You could follow Paul at Gackle Report on Twitter. And Vic Tafer is at VICTAFUR. Be sure to check us out every Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, here on the Double with the Double S Express. And there is Sean Boyd. Any parting shots, Mr. Boyd?
Well, man, again, it's been a great show. Sorry about the technical difficulty there. I don't know what happened. But, yes, it was an awesome show. Look forward to having some more big-time guests on next week. So if you'd like to, feel free to go on our website at double-s-express.com. Give us any of your input, email us, and of course you can call in on the show as well. But it's been a great week.
some things we took away from tonight's show. Sports writer for SFGate.com, the Oakland Raiders, Vic Taffer, was with us tonight. He sees 4-12 or 5-11 again here in 2013. Let's hope for a couple more wins out of the Raiders to show some improvement. And across the bay in San Francisco, Santa Clara, Paul Gackel thinks the Seattle Seahawks will take the division. He likes the defense. He likes Russell Wilson. You hear that, 12th man? NFC West belongs to the Seattle Seahawks in 2013, according to Paul Gackel at Gackel Report on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if he was just deferring and being chivalric, but, you know, yeah, it sounded like he had a lot of respect for the Seattle Seahawks, which is you know, uncharacteristic of a team that just made it to the Super Bowl and was close to winning. But now, you know, going into a new season, you know, I tend to agree. It's up in the air on if it's going to be Seattle or San Francisco, but who knows? That NFC West is definitely a tough one. And then on the other hand, of course, as you were mentioning with the Oakland Raiders, you know, just stick with it, Raider Nation. We had talked about this before. And, you know, there's a lot of uphill climbing to do, but the team is heading in the right direction. You know, I think what we're looking for is just a glimmer of hope in this process and this foundation being laid. But if there was, Sean, if it was 7-9, I would be happy, I'd have to tell you.
Well, here's to hoping that Matt Flynn helps you win a couple more games.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the hype is over. You know, he had a chance. You know, he had a chance in Green Bay and showed some glimmers of greatness, went to Seattle, and got tripped up by Russell Wilson. But, you know, here's his chance to come out here and play some great football and show that he's a true leader. And, again, he has a great coaching staff if you think about it. You know, I'd mentioned before with Tony Sperano, the assistant head coach, and, of course, head coach Dennis Allen and Greg Olsen. You know, it's not like these guys are minced meat. So, you know, he has a strong foundation that can help him. Let's just see if he can play some solid football.
Follow at Double S Express on Twitter. Like our Facebook page, Double S Express. And definitely come back next Monday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, for the next edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. And every show available on demand whenever you are ready at double-s-express.com.
Another great show, Mr. Wally. Hey, man, look forward to doing this again next week.
8 shows in the book. It is 8 o'clock on the dot. That's going to wrap up show number 8. Good time to end. 8 p.m. show number 8 in the books. For Sean Boyd in Sacramento, I'm Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. We'll talk to you next week on The Double.
Thanks for listening to On The Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On The Double with the Double S Express.